Sportscast, November 22nd. Welcome to another edition of the Sportscast. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. And go download InstaBible on the iOS App Store. It will change your life. Oregon, looking good this season so far. They got two more games. They got Arizona State away at the desert, something that you cannot overlook. Then you got Beavers afterwards, Oregon State Beavers. And to join us, who can talk Pac-12 football all day, Mr. Tyler Turner. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Okay.
So, Tyler, big game. Oregon's looking good. They're six in the college football playoffs. What do they need to do to beat Arizona State?
I would say just pretty much go out and just execute their offense and defense. Arizona State is 5-5. They've lost four games in a row. They're really struggling on defense. I think they've given up 30 plus points in three consecutive games. They also at times have been, their offense actually has been better recently. It was kind of odd early in the season. Their defense played well. Their offense wasn't playing that well. Now their offense is playing well, and their defense is not playing well. They're a pretty young team. They have a lot of guys that don't have a lot of experience. They have some talent. I think the roster, if I'm not mistaken, is about the fifth most talented roster, baseline talent, in the Pac-12. Jaden Daniels is a true freshman, was one of the top dual-threat quarterbacks coming out of high school. He was a top 100 player. And a guy like Ayuk, I'm so bad with names. I wish I was better. But Ayuk, the wide receiver, is one of the better wide receivers in the Pac-12. Eno Benjamin was one of the top returning running backs. He hasn't had a great year, but they don't have a great offensive line. It's young. I don't think it's that talented. Defensively, they're really bad against the pass. They're 115. In pass efficiency nationally. I think they're 117th in pass defense. I think total defensive efficiency, I think they're around, I'm not totally sure. They're pretty good against the run. They definitely are good at not allowing explosive plays. But they're just an inconsistent team. I mean, early in the season, they were 5-1. They were rated as high as number 18. And then, you know, they lose by 18 to Utah. They lost by, I don't know, a couple touchdowns to UCLA. They lost to USC. We're down 28-3 at the end of the first quarter. Then they lost to Oregon State. But it's at Arizona State. It's the ABC game of the week. It's, you know, Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler. So I think they'll be really up for this game. They're not as good as Oregon. They're not as talented as Oregon, but you just never know. And hopefully Oregon is just really locked in. Hopefully they have not been listening to the noise. Hopefully they've been staying focused on, you know, this opponent winning each and every week. Because there is some of the media, several different sources, that either think it's going to be very close, and I've seen a couple that actually think Arizona State's going to pull off the upset. People are thinking crazy things might happen in the desert, and they think that maybe Oregon will start looking ahead. So hopefully they just stay grounded, they stay focused, and they come out there and they just execute their game on offense and defense. Because if they do, I think they'll beat this team by a couple touchdowns.
Yes, I see on Vegas they got Oregon winning by 14 points.
I mean, I think if you just take the teams as is, Oregon is better offensively. Oregon has a top 20 offense. Arizona State probably doesn't even have a top 50 offense. If you take them defensively, Oregon has a top 15 defense. Arizona State, I don't think they even have a top 50, especially against the pass. So if you just take their actual efficiency, offense, defense, yeah, I would say that line's pretty correct. But you just don't know. Different factors, motivation, home field advantage, looking ahead, stuff like that can level the playing field a little bit more. If you look at the metrics, Oregon should win this game.
Yeah, sure. The only factor is that they're playing at Arizona State in the desert. Oregon cannot overlook it. The Sun Devils, I was reading that they don't have much of a offensive line to handle with the Ducks up front. The Oregon D-line is too active, the run defense too strong, and the offense really just doesn't make the big mistakes a struggling team like ASU needs.
That's a good point right there. The big thing that would cause an upset is just making huge mistakes. And for the most part, Oregon just doesn't, especially Herbert isn't. People could say, you know, he's had his knocks and all that. People, you know, he's had his critics. But one thing that for most of his career, he's rarely been the guy that throws a bunch of picks. And Oregon doesn't fumble the ball a bunch. So, I mean, they would have to cause some turnovers or some special teams breakdown, because I don't think they're just going to go out there and run up and down the field on Oregon's defense. And I don't think Arizona State's just going to stuff Oregon's offense. Even though, you know, at home, with the emotion that, especially on defense, can be provided, I could see their defense early coming out, getting some pressure on Herbert, and maybe causing some problems. I could see it.
What would
We'll see.
Obviously, you know, Tua's whole injuries woes these past couple weeks. Herbert's stock has been going up. What would you like to see Justin Herbert in this game?
Well, he needs to keep on playing like he has the last couple weeks. Justin Herbert's best play has been the last two games. He's even thrown two picks, one in each of the games, but his best play has been the last two games. He's been making some big plays down the field. He has been just very confident. He's been very accurate throwing the ball, in particular down the field. He just has seemed a lot more confident. He's been a lot more consistent. There hasn't been any lapses of, like, really bad passes, like, or times where he just, you know, bad pocket awareness. I will still say that's the weakest part of his game is, you know, sometimes when the pocket breaks down, Herbert will just take a sack when he could just get out of the pocket and throw the ball away. That's one thing that's always kind of mystified me about Herbert. Is just like, man, dude, get outside the pocket. You're a good enough athlete. Just throw the ball away. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, you know, sometimes he doesn't necessarily anticipate big anticipation throws and throws guys open, but he has. He's made a couple really nice throws, especially in the Arizona game where the guy wasn't even open and he threw the ball only place where the person could catch it because the guy was covered. So he's played very well. I mean, he's playing pretty well right now. So, if he plays like he has the last 2 weeks, I just don't think Arizona State has a chance to pull off the upset.
Looking at the other Pac-12 game is Utah. They're sitting behind Oregon in the college football playoff rankings. They're playing Arizona. Do you think this game is going to be a big deal? Do you see Arizona upsetting Utah, or do you see Utah winning this game?
Yeah, I think Utah wins. Arizona's who Oregon played last week. Yeah. I really think Arizona's the worst team in the conference.
Okay.
Remember last week's podcast? I was just talking bad about them. And guess what? We didn't even go over that game. You know, we're just going on.
We can do it right now. It's perfect timing, by the way. So.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't even go over the Arizona game. Normally we go over and then we go ahead. So we're just previewing Arizona State. But to go back to the Arizona game, we didn't even talk about it.
Well, so, because it's Friday, people want to, like, you know, because the game's tomorrow. But, what happened Arizona?
Oh, that's right. We had a good little schedule going on. You screwed it up.
Now we know Mondays is perfect for time.
Anyway. Yeah, because now we didn't even go over the Arizona game. But the Arizona game, I was really negative on Arizona, and, like, pretty much all the negatives were true. I actually thought that Oregon played a solid game, but Oregon far from played their best game, especially offensively. You mean they were consistent, but Arizona just was not very good. I don't know what to say. But it also seemed like Oregon got ahead and just kind of coasted, it just didn't really step on them. But they won 34-6, so it doesn't really matter. They completely outplayed them. They had two-time the total yardage. I think it was like 500 to 250. The defense played good. They didn't allow a touchdown for the fifth time this season. For the fourth time, they allowed a touchdown for the fifth time. They held the team to single digits. Another great game by the defense. And it was kind of like I thought. Arizona is playing two quarterbacks. They don't really have an offensive identity. Not a great defense at all, especially against the pass. And you know what? 77-yard touchdown, open second play of the game to Johnny Johnson the third. Oregon threw a 53-yard flea flicker to Juwan Johnson. 26-yard touchdown to Spencer Webb. 35-yard touchdown to Dye. I mean, you could definitely see that the pass defense just was not very good. So to parlay that into your question about Utah, I do not think Arizona is very good. Utah is a pretty good team. No, I don't think they've upset Utah.
Which, after that game, they clinched a Pac-12 title game spot, which will happen in December. There's two more games left in the regular season. Now, look at the college playoffs. There's six. Alabama's at fifth. What does Oregon need to do to make it into that top four? Do they win out and they have a serious curse spot? What have you heard?
If Oregon wins out and wins the Pac-12 championship, the only thing that would, as of right now, so many things could happen. I don't know. But as of right now, the only thing that would keep them out is a one-loss Georgia beating an undefeated LSU in the SEC championship. I think LSU would get in over Oregon.
Wow.
But other than that, Oregon would get in. So hopefully LSU wins the SEC title, or Texas A&M upsets either Georgia or LSU the next couple weeks. And I think that would make that the loser of the SEC championship is just not getting in. Or a two-loss Georgia, I don't know if they'd get in. I don't know if a two-loss Georgia would get in, even if they won the SEC title.
Will Tua's injury woes bring down Alabama further? Even though if Alabama wins out, how much low can they go, drop?
They're number five right now?
Correct.
Well, I don't think they go anymore. But it doesn't matter. You have to be a top four team to make the college football playoff.
That's it.
So it doesn't really matter. No, I don't think they'll go. They just won't go any higher. So, yeah.
There you have it. Another big game this weekend is Ohio State and the Nittany Lions of Penn State. Big game, Big Ten East Championship game, they call it. How do you see that matchup?
It's been great games the last 3 years. I just think that Ohio State is far too talented. I think they're a much better team. I think Penn State's going to play as good as they can. I think they're going to come in very prepared, but I think it's going to be one of those 35-21 victories. I think they're going to play Ohio State closer than any other team has. I think they're more talented than any other team that Ohio State has played. But unless Ohio State just really self-destructs, I think they win by two touchdowns.
Anything else in college football you want to talk about?
I think Ohio State's the most talented team in America. So
in the world.
Well, there's no world college football. America.
Okay. Miles Garrett.
And I'm your medication.
Is accusing Mason Rudolph for saying a racial slur. Mason Rudolph
says. Talk about this.
You don't want to talk about Miles Garrett.
I mean, what is there to say? I mean, that's crap. I mean, the guy, whatever. He's suspended indefinitely. Hopefully.
Forever.
He gets. Hopefully, I mean, I don't know what forever, but I mean, that's retarded. That's such a lame card that people are pulling these days. Oh man, if I say this, then people will let me off with killing five people on the football field. No, give me a break. Like, do your time and stop being an idiot.
Green Bay Packers defeated the Panthers 24-16.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yes, the bye week. And then they have the Niners this weekend. So,
yep.
in Levi Stadium. It should be a good matchup.
That's a tough matchup. That's probably the toughest matchup the Packers have left on their schedule. I mean, they play the Vikings. But, yeah, it's a tough matchup in San Francisco. Arguably, San Francisco has maybe the best team in the NFC. Definitely have the best defense. So, that's going to be a pretty tough matchup. Last time they went out to the West Coast to play the Los Angeles Chargers, Green Bay played terrible. So, well, hopefully it's a little better game. You got Devontae Adams. He's healthy now. So, it would be nice if they could pull off this victory. If they don't, it's not the end of the world. The last five games aren't extremely difficult. It's like Giants, Redskins, Vikings, Bears, and Lions. And I think in a lot of those games are at home. So I like them in most of those games. Vikings will be a tough one. That's a tough game, Sunday night game. I don't know if I'd pick the Packers to win that game.
Tough matchup.
Especially Niners. How they looked the last time they went out in the West Coast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Niners are
a pretty tough matchup.
9-1, Packers are 8-2, so we'll see where our things are going. But it'd be a true test for the Niners. See,
Now, if the Packers win that game, they have a chance to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Correct. They will be between them and if the Saints win, so it'd be quite a juggernaut.
Yeah, it'd be pretty close, yeah.
You want to go into game predictions or talk about the FSU coaching possibilities?
We can quickly, yeah, we have a little bit of time. I can go over FSU. I can talk a little bit about FSU. I can talk a little bit about Arkansas is open.
Yeah, those are two big jobs right now.
You also have USC, who play their last game this week against their arch rival, UCLA. The Clay Helton watch, is he done? We have a few job openings. Which one do you want to know about?
Which one
am I hearing about?
Who will go to FSU? I want to hear that first.
Well, I don't know who's going to go there. I have no idea. Who do they want? Well, they wanted Bob Stoops, but he's not going there. So congratulations on that one, FSU. You got spurned by Bob Stoops. So that's not going to happen. You know, there is the possibility of Odell, their current interim coach, who's the interim coach after Fisher left also. He is a possibility, believe it or not. That would kind of seem like a buzzkill if you're an FSU fan. The problem with FSU right now is their administration's kind of a mess. The culture of the team is a complete mess. They have not, you know, just not great, you know, as great as FSU has been over the last 25 years, winning three national titles. Maybe it goes back 30 years, but, you know, one of the best programs probably in college football over the last 30-some years. It's just not a great place right now, especially with administration. That being said, some people I'm hearing is, well, I heard Brian Kelly might be interested. Now, on the surface, that might seem a little weird, but Brian Kelly's put his name out there a couple times. He's put his name out there as possibly wanting to leave to the NFL. Now he's put his name as possibly been interested in FSU. Is it a ploy by his agent to get a raise and to get some more power in control within the Notre Dame system? I don't know. We'll find out. Matt Campbell, they really like. A lot of people really like Matt Campbell. He won at Toledo. He's done very well at Iowa State. He's had them consistently around the top 25, and that's a place where it's very hard to win. Again, James Franklin, he's another good name that is floated out there. I don't know exactly why that is. I looked it up. He's the third highest paid coach in the Big Ten. So the only two guys higher than him is Jeff Brohm and Jim Harbaugh. So why is his name floating around? Because I thought maybe he was not getting paid enough or – and then I saw that, and I'm like, why is his name floating around so much? Does he not want to be at Penn State? Does he find it a little bit difficult because he has Ohio State in particular in his division and might find it difficult to make the college football playoffs? Because remember, a couple of years ago, Penn State won the Big Ten but ended up not making the college football playoff while Ohio State did. Is that the reason? I don't know. He's a Pennsylvania guy, too. And then Mike Norvell, he's always a name that's hot and popular. You know, I heard some off-the-field stuff that he's had some issues, and that's why sometimes he's not the main choice. Because I kind of wondered, he's done a great job at Memphis, but he's not getting any big job. He hasn't really been the main offer. So I don't know. Honestly, FSU is kind of – I'm not sure. They fired Taggart, but I don't know if they really had a legitimate game plan. Like, normally if you want to fire someone, you want to have, like, one strong play. And they've kind of been a little all over the place. I don't know about them. USC, Clay Helton, will he get fired? Well, if he wins, he still has a chance to win the Pac-12 South if Utah gets upset. That's weird. They're in the top 25. He would have had an 8-4 season despite having his starting quarterback injured and having to play a true freshman. You know, he doesn't – most programs you would say Clay Helton's year is not something you fire someone over. But that being said, the recruiting is really bad. They're right now number 76 in the nation, the recruiting class. That's horrible. The fan base hates him. Attendance is down. I think he gets fired. And I think they go after James Franklin from all accounts. If Franklin says no, I don't know if Franklin does say no. If his name's floating around here that much, there's a reason. And I think USC is a better job than Penn State. I think it's easier to win. I think it's easier to recruit. So I have a feeling if he gets fired, he will be the coach. I mean, some other candidates would be Luke Fickell at Cincinnati because his AD is now the AD at USC, the AD that hired him at Cincinnati. So that's a possible option. And then you just never know. There's always wild cards out there. So my prediction, I don't know. For FSU, I really don't have a prediction. It kind of sounds like a lot of people don't really want the job. So I don't know who ends up there. At USC, I think Clay Helton gets fired, and I think James Franklin gets the job. That's just my early prediction. And then I think at Arkansas, it's either two things. They either hire Mike Leach, which I think is a decent fit there. You know, they need something interesting. They need something unique, and that's all that Leach is. Or Gus Malzahn, welcome is finally worn out at Auburn, and he leaves, and he takes the Arkansas job.
That makes sense.
Then Auburn would be open.
I've been hearing the whole Auburn and Malzahn issue for this past year, so I think those rumors are getting stronger too.
And then if Franklin perchance leaves Penn State and that opens that job up, that would be a place. Matt Campbell, a Midwest guy from Ohio, Luke Fickell, you know, former Ohio State Buckeye. But then the big name to watch is former Penn State linebacker and the head coach of Baylor, Matt Rhule. I think he might go back to his alma mater. If I had to say Penn State opens up, I think Matt Rhule, he's a really good coach, and I think he might take that job. So,
would you take a job at FSU, USC, or Arkansas?
Me?
Yeah.
What do I think the best job is?
Yeah, for you, hypothetically speaking.
Well, I mean, what do I think? Well, I don't know. That's weird. but which job do I think is the best job? USC. USC is a blue blood. It's one of the most storied programs in college football history. It also is the main school in the Pac-12. It's in one of the best talent-rich areas. If you said the most talented players that come from Texas, Florida, and Southern California, well, Southern California is in Southern California. So USC, in my opinion, is the best job. Second best job is Florida State, but their administration is just not good. So I don't know.
All right, there you have it.
I don't know.
Arkansas's.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who takes the Florida State job. So.
Game predictions, Tyler.
Go.
Let's start. Arkansas at LSU.
LSU.
Penn State at Ohio State.
Yeah, I kind of broke it down. I think Penn State plays, I think they come in very prepared. I think they come in looking to take advantage of a defense that doesn't have very many holes. I think they struggle. I think Chase Young back in the pass rush. I think Clifford, who's kind of at times an inconsistent passer, has trouble with that long secondary. If Ohio State makes some mistakes, then maybe it's a little closer. But I pick Ohio State.
Texas
by a pretty good margin.
Texas A&M at Georgia.
You know, I've been hearing a lot of people on this game, and they make some fair points. Georgia's, you know, they have the SEC championship coming up. They've had, you know, they've had some big victories over the last couple of weeks over Florida and Auburn. A&M hasn't been, you know, kind of stayed off the radar. They're still a top 15 talent team in the nation. They still have some really good players. They need to win one of these games. They've lost every team that they've played this year that was a top 25 team, Auburn, Alabama, and Clemson. You know, they lost. I think they make this game
challenging.
You know what? I think they upset Georgia.
Whoa, okay.
I think they're going to beat one team, and I think it's Georgia at this point. I think the reason why I feel more comfortable is because Georgia's offense is just not very consistent. And I think Texas A&M comes, forces a couple turnovers, and I think it's a really low-scoring game. But, I'm going to pick A&M on the upset.
Texas A&M takes the upset. Utah at Arizona.
Utah.
TCU at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Minnesota at Northwestern.
Minnesota.
Michigan at Indiana.
Now, the only thing, Michigan could be looking ahead to Ohio State. That is always worrisome.
Trap game.
Indiana is also not a bad team. They're 7-3. Lost a close game to Penn State last week. I think Michigan's playing a lot better. I do think Michigan wins, but I think it's a pretty close game.
Texas at Baylor.
Texas has had a terrible year. That being said, Tom Herman, I think, is looking at going 6-5. I mean, he was 7-6 his first year. He was 10-4 last year, and he kind of saved it by winning the Sugar Bowl. But honestly, his team wasn't very good most of the year. And he's 6-4 this year. He's not had a great, as good as he was supposed to be, he's not been that great at Texas, especially with the talent he's brought in. But I think they come out and play with their backs against the wall a little bit, like, we have to win. And Baylor just blew a huge lead at home against Oklahoma, where they could have been undefeated. I think they're super a little deflated. I actually think Texas pulls off the upset here.
Texas pulls off the upset, according to Tyler Turner. Purdue,
Wisconsin,
the Whisk. Houston College at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Illinois at Iowa.
Iowa.
SMU at Navy.
I mean, here's if you'll break this game down a little bit. This is why I know more about it than probably I should. SMU is not very good against the run. They give up a lot of explosive plays on the ground. Navy's triple option. I think Navy gets them.
Navy. Interesting. Is that an upset in college football?
No, I think Navy's ahead. My favorite.
Oklahoma State at West Virginia Mountaineers.
Oklahoma State.
Pittsburgh at Virginia Tech.
You know, Pittsburgh's played better than people thought. So this is Virginia Tech after looking terrible early in the year. I think Virginia Tech wins at home. It's a tough place to play at Blacksburg.
Yeah, they're
playing a lot better. I think Virginia Tech gets Pittsburgh.
We know the answer to this, but we need a score. Oregon at Arizona State.
You know, Bannard to score around. Well, how do you know? Maybe I pick an upset.
Sure,
I've at times been like, are they going to struggle more? I do think this game, I think Arizona State comes out pretty amped. I actually think they lead at halftime. I think there is a couple mistakes by Oregon in the first half. But then I think they get in there and they're like, guys, we have goals. This is our goal this season. We have everything in front of this. And they come back in the second half, and I think it's like a 13-10 halftime score. And then I think in the second half, they put up like three touchdowns, and I think they really kind of stomped down on Arizona State. I think they win 31-20. I do think Arizona State covers.
Is it me or I think you told me this? Kind of feels like Oregon doesn't have good first halves.
Hold on a second. What is this? Okay. What did you say?
Is it me or is it like Oregon doesn't have a good first halves typically in games this season?
No, it's been, well, I mean, they probably played better in the first half last week. They're up 21-0 midway through the second quarter. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Washington, they were down. They were tied with Washington State, and they looked better in the second half. USC, 28-17, they kind of turned it around in the second quarter. Yeah, there's been a couple games. Well, Auburn, though. Auburn, they were up. What was it? Was it 21-3 at half? They were 21-3 or 21-6 at half. No, Auburn, they were up at half. It was the second half. They lost it in Auburn. Yes, and then Washington State, it was the other way around. USC, they started to pile it on towards the end, and they just continued. It's been a little bit of, now Herbert throughout his career, but you know what? There's been both because I've known Herbert in games to have amazing first half and actually had bad second half. Last year against Arizona State, he put up like 300 yards in the first half and they were way ahead. And then the second half threw like two interceptions and Arizona State came all the way back and had a chance to win it at the goal line at the end of regulation. Oregon stopped them for the victory, but actually it was the bad play of Herbert in the second half. So, and then off last year, but throughout his career, he's been like, there's been up and down. That's been one of the frustrations of Herbert. He's been really good in first half and really bad in second half and not good in first half. Like he wasn't against Washington this year or Washington State and then was good in the second half. So that's been one of the frustrating things is his inconsistencies. But as a team, I would say, yeah, they've been actually a little better in the second half this year. I agree with you. Like, I'd say it's more likely my prediction for them to be close at the half and then go ahead is probably better than giving it up. The only game that they did that was Auburn. They had a great first half, were up by a couple touchdowns, and then they ended up blowing it in the second half. But, yes, as a whole, I would agree with you. They have been better in the second half.
We'll see what happens. Oregon has three more games, including the conference title championship. And last prediction game, Green Bay at San Francisco.
I'm going to pick Green Bay in the upset, but I'm not very confident. But I'm going to pick them in the upset. Somehow I think Aaron Rodgers gets it done because it's a pretty big swing game because they would control home field advantage if they win. If they don't, they're probably running third behind San Francisco and New Orleans.
And random question, what's your favorite type of car? Economy, SUV, pickup truck, or electric?
Economy. Not a car guy.
And in the polls, SUV is winning by 45%, pickup truck 36%. Economy and electric tied at 9%. So, interesting SUV isn't the most comfortable car to spread your legs or something. Anyways, Tyler, awesome. What is the best way to reach you to talk to about Arizona State?
Reach me at TurnerCast. I won't give my email away. I'm not going to give that away. At TurnerCast on Twitter.
Turncast, and he'll be live tweeting the Oregon and Arizona State tomorrow night. Is it a night game tomorrow?
Yeah.
On ESPN, that, so
well,
game of the week.
Well, it's going to be night. It's night game in the East Coast. It's 7:30. It's 4:30 in the Pacific.
Yes.
So it's kind of like late afternoon. But on your where most people you're listening to, it's night.
The scouts will be looking at Justin Herbert as his stock goes up. We'll see what happens. Tyler, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
All right, thanks, dude.